Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Brian Hall is the executive chairman of Great Western Mining. The company's got assets in Nevada. And I should say at the front of the conversation that I'm also a director of Great Western, and it's a pleasure to be on the board of the company with Brian. So Brian's going to talk us through a bit about what it's like to operate in Nevada and talk about the commodities that Great Western's in and some of the projects too today. So Brian, thanks very much for having this conversation with me. It's good to see you.
Well, you too, Alistair. Thank you.
So Great Western's been in Nevada, on the border of Nevada, really, in Mineral County. What's it like operating there? How long has Great Western been there, and what's the experience been like?
Okay, Great Western has been in Nevada now for the best part of 20 years, longer than I've been working with Great Western. We're solely in Mineral County, Nevada. What's it like to work there? It's a good area in the sense that America's a good jurisdiction to work in anyway. The laws are ancient and they work. There's no funny business with the officials. Everything is above board. Everything's done properly. I think probably the biggest operating problem we have there is that there aren't a lot of people. It's a very uninhabited area. So we don't have a pool of labor. So very often we're scratching around a little bit sometimes to find people, bring people in from far away. But no, it's a fair place to work. We work in remote places, but there is basic infrastructure. There are highways. And once you're back into the civilized parts, into the developed parts, then you have all the things like power and communications and all the things you need to run a mining operation. It's not like being in a very remote area in Africa or something like that, somewhere like that. So yeah, it's a pretty good environment to work in, and we have good relations with the people, with the officials, and with our neighbors and so forth. So we're very happy working there.
I mean, it's famously one of the great mining destinations of the world, Nevada. Some of the biggest mining companies that we know of operate there, and indeed were sort of conceived there on the Carlin trend and some of the
Absolutely.
Other trends.
Yeah.
So do you see evidence of, big activity on the ground, when you fly into Nevada and, start walking around?
It's a big place, so you don't actually see very much. No, it's spread very thinly. I think the Carlin trend, of course, is a major gold play. And I think if Nevada was a country, the Carlin trend would make it the fourth biggest gold producing country in the world, or some number like it might be fifth, but it would be very high up as a country. And the Carlin trend is where the main activity is, and that's quite away from us. We're in the Walker Lane belt, which but for the Carlin trend overshadowing it, I think would be much better known. It's a very mineral rich area, all sorts of minerals, all sorts of mining activity going back a very long way. the days when Nevada was the silver state back in the 19th century. It all goes back to the 19th century, really. But people tend to forget a little bit about the Walker Lane because of the Carlin Trend. But it's a fantastic area to work in. And there is a lot of activity, but as I say, you don't see it very much because it's so thinly spread out.
What are some of the more prominent mines on the Walker Lane Trend?
The best known mine, really, in recent times has been the Yerington Copper Mine, which is now worked out, but its name of Pumpkin Hollow is now being developed. Candelaria has been a major silver play for, it's now not an operating mine, but it was a famous silver mine in its day. So there are there's a group of mines, copper, silver, and some gold mines.
I mean, Yerington, Pumpkin Hollow, Candelaria are actually pretty big names in the mining industry, and to be on the same trend as mines like that is, you know, that's something in and of itself, really, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Our whole all our claims are really based on mining, on historical mines. There are mines that go back to the 1890s, the 1920s, and we're really in an area. We're not in virgin territory at all. A lot of it has been mined before, but there's lots more still to go for in the Walker Lane Belt.
So where does Great Western sit in relation to Yerington, for example? Is it south, north, east, west?
We're a little bit south of Yerington. We're about 30, 40 miles south of Yerington, very much on trend with it. Yerington is a complex porphyry system. A lot of people have tried to understand it for a long time, and it is now well understood. But in the early days, I don't think it was well understood. But the geology in the whole area is complex. There are minerals jumping out at you everywhere, but it is a very complex area. It's a piece of geology that's still very much on the move.
I mean, it's a great name for a place for a mining company to be, Mineral County. You couldn't have a better name for a county to operate.
Mineral
in.
County is, in fact, it's the ideal name. One of our geologists went there for the first time and said he'd never been anywhere in the world where he'd seen so many minerals jumping out at him all over the place. I mean, it sounds a bit of an exaggeration, but it is very mineral rich and well worth working in.
So what are some of the commodities or minerals or metals that are evident in Mineral County then?
Silver, copper, gold, lithium, tungsten, and a whole variety of others. There's been some uranium mining in the past. There's just a bit of everything. Whatever you want to find, you can probably find it. Whether you find it in commercial quantities, of course, is another matter. But everything is there. And the rare earths, this is just a whole range of minerals.
So you'd say, speaking generally, that the entire area really is just highly prospective.
I would say that, yes. Yes, it is. Not always necessarily easy to find things, as I say, in commercial quantities. You have to work at that like as everywhere else. But it's a mineral rich area, it really is. And Mineral County, it's the perfect name for it.
So Great Western's going to get to work later in the year in a serious fashion on the ground in Mineral County. That follows a significant fundraising that was undertaken within the last few weeks. What was that like, Brian? The reason I'm asking isn't so much to get into the nitty-gritty of the detail, but there was a sort of perspective in the market that things were very tough and difficult. And then all of a sudden, there seems to be a funding window that's opened up for several companies, and Great Western among them, and seems to have succeeded in raising money in quite a successful and interesting way. So tell us a little bit about how you found the process of the fundraising and what you learned about the current state of the market.
Yeah, well, I think the perception that the market is very difficult is absolutely right. It's been very difficult for quite a while now, and a lot of companies, a lot of small companies, have simply battened down the hatches and aren't doing very much, rightly, because we all, as exploration companies, we all depend on the generosity of potential shareholders and investors to trust in the company and put new money into them. And if investors don't put new money into these companies, then they've got nowhere very much to go. So the market conditions are very important for a company like Great Western. I think we reached a point where our share price has been very low, and we've lost a lot of value over the last couple of years, in spite of the fact we have very nice projects, and I think we've done good work on the exploration front and moved them forward quite successfully. I think there's a mismatch between our projects and our market cap, for instance. I think we got to a point where our market cap had reached a level where there were shells valued at our market cap with nothing in them at all. We have a great deal in the company. For instance, we've got a resource of 19,000 tons of contained copper. Actually, we have a resource. We have a lot of good prospects. We have a mill project, which you'll know all about, which is not yet commissioned, but it's actually built and is going to eventually process gold and silver. So the company has assets, but was pretty unloved. And I think we got to a point where I think we were almost on bottom, as it were, with one way to go. And so we were very fortunate in being able to raise a reasonable amount of capital, a good amount of capital, raised more than our market cap in new capital. And that's given us a window to go and do some good exploration work, which we propose to do very promptly, because the longer you leave it, the more money goes through your hands and people lose interest and so forth. So we would like to justify that the funds we raised back in June by showing some real progress this year, and that we're on course to do that. So it's been it's been tough for a couple of years now, but I'm hoping that this will be the turning point and that we go onwards and upwards, because we do have good exploration properties which really are worth drilling and spending more time and money on.
And do you have a view about the reasons why the market is suddenly waking up to exploration again and providing it with equity funding in a way that it wasn't some months ago?
Well, if it is, I think that's excellent news. Whether it actually is, I don't know. I can only really see it on from our very limited, small perspective as one exploration company. But we've been lucky to get some support. I'm not sure how this has played across the market, but certainly I couldn't give you a particularly good reason. Well, actually, no, there are. I can give you some reasons. The first thing, the first thing is to do with politics. The world is a difficult place, and it needs base metals very badly, copper, tungsten, and so forth, for defense reasons, industrial reasons. There is also the whole American tariff issue, which is going to mean that in our case, or in the case of companies operating in America, that there will be more interest in domestic resources in the US, which is the world's big market. The sands are shifting a little bit here, and I think they seem to be shifting at the moment in the right direction. How long this will last, who knows? But we intend to use the funds we've just raised to the best possible advantage and see if we can create some real value for our shareholders.
There's the potential of a copper porphyry on the Great Western ground, and you mentioned tariffs just there, Brian. The Trump tariff on copper has shaken up the copper market a little bit. I mean, some people were expecting a tariff, but quite a lot of headlines were saying it was a surprise tariff as well. So I think that it sort of received a bit of a mixed reception generally. But with Great Western having copper inside America, that's obviously a very nice asset to have, a resource already in existence.
Yes. Well, I think it's very nice to have the copper anyway. If there is a boost to the market through tariffs and general increase in demand, so much the better. I don't think I would want to bet on the long-term situation on copper tariffs, because every other tariff seems to change almost on a weekly basis. But at the moment, it's certainly good news it's good news to have copper in America. Tariffs or no tariffs, I think, is the answer, because there is going to be an increasing demand for copper, and it's an important metal. So I think it's copper is a good place to be, so to speak.
Yes, the Great Western will be drilling for copper later in the year.
We will. Yeah. Well, look, we have this copper prospect, which we call the Huntoon Copper Project, which is all around the northern end of the Huntoon Valley, which somebody, I think it might have been the U.S. Geological Survey, described as the last valley in America. This is a huge valley in the middle of nowhere, and it's closed at both ends, and it's just a vast, empty, uninhabited space. And our copper resource is on the northeast side of that. But we've been working on the western side of the valley for the last couple of years, which is where we found indications of a copper porphyry, and we've had people in to do reports on it, and it's looking pretty good. And what we've done is we've done extensive grab sampling and soil sampling. We've also done geophysics. We've done an IP survey, which we encountered around some granites, which were previously unknown, which are the host environment for a porphyry anyway, previously unmapped by anybody. We found a large granite outcrop. But around that, we've got about 3 square kilometers of soil sampled area where every single sample has a good copper reading. It's extraordinary. So what we're going to do this summer is to go in and drill a small number of holes just to scout, really. This is not to prove up a resource at this stage. It's too early for that on the porphyry side. But just to be sure that we can follow what we see on the surface at depth. And so we've got a rig lined up, and we propose to go out and do that in the next few weeks. So that's going to be exciting, because we haven't done any serious drilling for a couple of years now. So that's something we're looking forward to, and the results of that will be very important for the company.
Can you tell us anything more about that drilling in terms of depths that are being targeted, or the type of drilling?
It's an RC rig. Which is obviously more economical than core drilling, but you don't get such a good result. But core drilling is traditionally quite difficult in this area, so you need to be ready to spend a great deal of money to do core drilling. And so we're going to do RC drilling to begin with. We've got an initial plan to drill 5 holes. It might be we'll see how they go. We might drill more, we might drill less, but the plan is to drill 5 holes. Average length of each hole about 200 meters. We're drilling off patented land, so we don't have to have the permits from the BLM or the US Forest Service, particular landlords in the area. I think that we'll see what the results are like from that, but that's going to be interesting.
Is there any overburden that you have to go through before you hit the target rock?
Well, not very much, because we have so many surface indications of copper. I mean, you just pick up copper wherever you go. So there will be some overburden, but not very much. We don't know. The drilling will tell us. If I can describe this, we are working in the hills, or sort of small mountains, each side of a flat valley, a sedimentary valley. And what we have is we have no indication of anything in the valley now, because it's all covered. It's all out of daylight. So we've shot IP lines under the valley floor, which give a good indication that we have a continuity going under the valley floor. But we're not going to drill in the valley floor yet. We're only going to be drilling in the hills at this stage. So we should get some good copper intercepts. Now, of course, what we would love to prove, and we don't yet know whether we can, is that there's connectivity between the drilling we do on the west side and the resource we have on the east side. And we would like to think that the whole resource continues right under the valley. But that's for another time, and probably for a bigger company. We've been talking to very large companies for a while about this project, and we get interest, but we very often get the reaction a little bit early for us. So we've decided now that we can't go on chasing bigger companies to do our work for us. We're going to take this a stage further and drill it ourselves and see how we go and try and make it into a more interesting project. Great Western is never going to develop a copper mine the size of Yerington in the Huntoon Valley, but somebody will. And if it's there, somebody will. And so we're trying to get it to the stage where it becomes really interesting for a larger company. And I'm confident we will. When you talk to larger companies, of course, they're being shown projects by everybody every day of the week, and they're very they you're not really pushing an open door when you go to big companies with a project like this, but you're pushing the door, an open door, a little bit more if you've done a bit more drilling. So we're doing some more drilling. We've raised the money to do it, and we're very excited about it.
Are there any logistical challenges? You mentioned the remoteness, at least in parts of the Great Western portfolio. Getting these rigs up the side of a hill, is there any specific difficulties in that?
Absolutely. Nothing is ever easy. It's not very difficult, but it is fairly difficult. We're not that far from a good highway. I mean, this is the thing about America. You've got all these deserts, but you have wonderful, wonderful tarmac roads, highways that go right through the middle of them. So we're not that far from, we're not. It's not Western Australia. We're not hundreds of miles from civilization. But certainly in the final stages, when you're positioning your rig and your equipment and so forth, it's there's some challenges, but that's what drillers and their supporting crews do. So it's nothing impossible at all. Just normal business.
So that's the copper then. So let's talk about gold a little bit. I mean, gold, as we know, has been in the headlines for many a month now. Seems to have plateaued a little bit in price, but a strong gold price has become a sort of feature of the economic background in which we're in. Do you like gold as a commodity yourself, Brian?
Well, yeah, love it if you can find it. Gold is a gold prospect is a shorter term and a little bit easier to work than a major copper porphyry would be. I think before a copper mine is developed in the Huntoon Valley, I will probably be dead, and maybe you will be too, because these things do take time. But with a gold project or a silver project, precious metals, you can do things a lot more quickly. We had kind of alternate between base metals and precious metals because we have both. And sometimes I remember one geologist who came and looked at all our prospects quite a few years ago. Now he experienced guy who'd been around a long time, an American, and he said it's just hard to know where to start because you have so many things to do here. So we have masses of things, and we've started on quite a few of them. But we do have a couple of gold prospects we really like. And one is called Rhyolite Dome, and it's on our Olympic Gold project. And we're going to drill that this summer too. We're going to use the funding we've raised this year, or part of the funding we raised this year, we're going to use not only for drilling the copper, but also for doing some first gold drilling on the Rhyolite Dome at Olympic Gold. That is a prospect which we really like. Other people in the past have liked it, but for various reasons haven't drilled it, mainly lack of money and so forth. An old timer who is has been working the area for a long time and has a royalty on the area, and he told us that if we'd been working the prospect 20 years ago, he would be living off the royalties now. So that's one person's opinion. But as I say, it stands up to the various tests. We're going to drill that this summer because, as I say, it's a maiden drilling. No one's ever drilled it. Everyone's looked at it. So that's quite interesting. It's very interesting for us. We're shooting an IP survey of it first. We'll get to pinpoints and drill locations. We've got a crew going out there, I hope, in the next 10 days or so to start the IP survey. Once that's done, we'll prepare the drilling effort. And then when we have the rig mobilized, we'll do probably the copper first, and then we'll move and drill Rhyolite Dome. So we've put down probably another five holes on that. Again, the exact location and the number of holes and the depths is something we can play with as we go along, but that's the general plan. So those are our two bits of drilling we're doing this year, and that's what we've raised money for, and that's what we're going to spend the money on. And we're going to make sure we do it this year.
Well, it sounds like there'll be plenty of news flow from the company in relation to the drilling. Is there any sort of other news flow to look forward to, or is it all about drilling at the moment?
It's not really the other interesting thing that we've gone into in the last few months are the possibilities of tungsten in the area. Tungsten, of course, is another critical metal. Tungsten is looking very interesting. Our neighbors at Pilot Mountain, Guardian Metal Resources, have done very well drilling for tungsten, and we would love to emulate their success. We found that We occasionally, because we've got so many claims, we occasionally dust them all down and see what we've got. And because we're a small team, we can't work on them all the time. We have around about 60 square kilometers of claims, which is an awful lot of acres. Towards the end of last year, we had a look at the tungsten possibilities, and on some of our existing claims, just to the northeast of our copper resource in the Huntoon Valley, we found that we knew we had them before, but we dusted down two old tungsten workings from the Second World War called Defender and Pine Crow. And these were shallow tungsten mines, which presumably were developed for part of the war effort, because after 1945, they didn't seem to have been touched anymore. We had a look at them, and then we realized that they actually sit right on the boundary of our claims. So we thought, well, if we have tungsten here, we would like to have all of it. So we then went out and staked some claims there back in the back end of last year. So we now have a nice halo of claims around these two tungsten mines. And earlier this year, we've been out there and done a lot of grab samples and used some fairly fancy tools to look at the grabs and so forth. And we came up with some nice results, which we've published. We RNS'd them a few weeks back now. But that they do look really interesting, because most of our grabs were between the two tungsten, old tungsten workings, and they're about three quarters of a mile apart, the tungsten workings. And we were getting good grab samples all the way between the two. Now, the tungsten mines from the Second World War were only shallow mines. We think that there's the potential for some deep mining to be done there. So we now have it. We've done the grabs, and the grabs are fine. Again, probably in the next couple of weeks, we have a two-man geo team going out to do a soil sample grid. And that should be interesting. And depending on that, the next stage will be to do a gravity survey, which is a little bit more expensive than other surveys, but is tungsten lends itself to gravity because it's such a dense material. And if the soils and the gravity look good, then the next phase would be to go and drill that. And it wouldn't be very difficult to drill. It's pretty accessible from the highway. It's no big deal to get a rig there. So that is a potential for drilling. So we have a copper play, we have a gold play, and we have a potential tungsten play, but we won't be drilling the tungsten play just yet, but we certainly will be drilling the copper and the gold. So we're a tiny company with a very small team, and we've got three resources we're playing around with.
Interesting. So the so when will we know about the results for the first initial results from the tungsten, do you think?
Well, we will probably have the sampling exercise done. It'll be finished probably soon. We start in the next couple of weeks. It'll be about a month's work. So we will get the results into the lab sometime in the second half of August, I would guess. We're then in the hands of the lab. This always happens, just when you think you've got something exciting and interesting, you find that there's a log jam in the lab. So we're very much dependent on those things. And we've had some frustrations in the past. We've said, when are we going to get these results? But anyway, we'll push as hard as we can. But depending on the lab, we should get the results a matter of weeks after we finish the soil sampling exercise. So not too long. I mean, we're in the third quarter now. I would think we would certainly have them hopefully in the third quarter, maybe at the beginning of the fourth quarter. But in the next couple of months, I should think we're seeing some results in that, and we'll have an idea of what we do next. But
Now, I
it's
believe
very
there's
interesting.
also a significant quantity of old diamond drill core that comes from the Great Western properties that
Yes,
is being
there is.
investigated.
Well, this actually goes on to another area. I should be talking to you with a map really, or some sort of diagram to illustrate it, but I don't have one. If you can imagine the this is on the back to the copper story. If you can imagine the Huntoon Valley is a north-south wide valley with hills all around it. The northeast side we have this resource. On the west side we have our potential copper porphyry, and to the north is an area which various people have had in the past, which we have a porphyry specialist who's been working with us very closely, and he really likes that area. It's an area that's been drilled in the past, and we don't really know the results of the drilling, because they see the people, whoever was drilling it has gone away now. So we went and claimed that earlier this year, and we find that we have access to a large quantity of core from earlier drilling there. So I suspect if there were excellent results from the core, then whoever had it wouldn't have relinquished it. We're going to greatly improve our knowledge of the whole porphyry setup, we believe, by analyzing that core. And we're having a session again towards the end of this month, where we have people who are actually going to be looking at the core and sorting it out and analyzing it and seeing what we've got. So that is all part of the story of we are trying to build a big picture copper story. Obviously, if you can build it into one copper story, there may be two or three copper stories, but if we can build into one, then it could be something substantial. And that will be part of making that story work.
I mean, there are a lot of moving parts here, aren't there, Brian?
There are indeed. And this is one of the challenges for a small company because we only have limited resources and we're a little company from over the Atlantic and we're trying to do lots of big things. We need one of them to land. That's what we're aiming to do. And that's what we how we spend our days doing.
So, operating there in Nevada, to bring it back to where we started, you mentioned that some of the ground Great Western is working on is patented. This is the way they work it in the US, isn't it? There's patented land, and then there's, I believe, there's BLM land. That's the other type of land.
Well, I mean, Nevada's special because the most of the land in central Nevada is owned by the federal government. It's federal land. I wouldn't want to give anybody a history lesson on Nevada because I'm not a specialist in that. But my understanding is that before the American Civil War, Nevada was a federal territory, and that Abraham Lincoln needed money to pay his troops at one stage, and he lent on the territory of Nevada to provide him with the silver to do that. I may have my history completely wrong, but I think this is roughly right. And the people in Nevada said, we can certainly do that, Mr. President, but why don't you turn us into a state? And so that was how I believe how the state of Nevada was formed. And it's called the Silver State for those reasons. Every license plate in Nevada says Nevada, the Silver State. That was the silver that went to finance the Civil War. I think the land, the federal land, is owned by two agencies. The U.S. Forest Service is one, and the Bureau of Land Management is another. And so basically, our landlords are, depending on which area we're in, either the Forest Service or the BLM. But of course, that's because it's mainly federal land. Unlike in many areas of the states, you were talking about private land. For instance, if you were drilling for oil in Texas, you'd be drilling on someone's land and having a royalty agreement with them. In the case of federal land, you simply pay an annual rental, and as long as you pay your annual rental, it is yours to explore. We have an agreement called the Huntoon Mine Cooperation Agreement with a company called Crown, a private company called Crown Point in the area, and they have the equivalent of about six claims of patented land in West Huntoon. And we've struck an agreement with them. Because they want to see it explored. And we've struck an agreement with them that we will do our initial drilling off their land, which means we don't have to go through any permitting exercise with the federal landlords elsewhere. And they have enough land for us to be able to get a good spread of drilling without having to go on to federal land. And there's a deal we have with them, which is a fairly simple deal, but basically we do some sharing and we share the gold, and we share the any copper benefits, and it's a simple little cooperation agreement. And so we have the advantage of being able to do our first drilling off that. And in the case of the West Huntoon area, we don't have to ask any federal authority for permission to drill it. But of course, if we wanted to go much further beyond, then we'd have to permit it for drilling, which is a process you go through and takes a little time, but can be done.
Are the environmental regulations onerous or easy to
They are onerous. Yeah, I mean, environmental regulations are always a bit onerous, but they're fair. They're managed. They're properly managed by the authorities. They're nothing we can't handle. They don't ask us to do anything unreasonable, but we do have to go through all the procedures. And we also have to go through the if we've done work in an area, we have to reclaim it. We have to post bonds for damage we do in the areas when the bonds get released, when we reclaim old drill sites and so forth. It's okay. You know, it's just part of the job. It's no big deal. Just work that has to be done.
Now, as we see you currently, Brian, it looks like you're sitting in front of a Nevada landscape there. Is that
Yes.
is that a typical Nevada landscape?
Yeah, it is. Yes, it's this. I think this. I'm not actually sitting in front of the landscape. I'm sitting in front of a picture of the landscape. You can see actually from the picture you can see that that you can see the mountains behind, which is very similar to the sort of country we will be. That's not actually where we've been drilling. You can see a flat. There's these flat valleys and. Down in the valley, you have the highways and what settlements there are, and then up in the hills, it's all wild. It's mountains, it's a mixture of mountains. Well, it's all desert, but it's flat desert and mountains desert. It's a strange place because Nevada has a lot of rainfall at different times of the year. I mean, it's a desert; it has a lot of rainfall, but the rainfall doesn't really drain out of the valleys. A lot of the valleys are closed valleys. I mean, if they resulted in rushing rivers, then of course the Californians would be lapping it all up. But the water sort of doesn't really leave the valleys very much. So we have if you drill in the valleys, you get to water quite quickly. There are also a lot of salt marsh type valleys where some of them have lithium developments going on in them right now, and there's just huge evaporation. The valleys are drained by evaporation, so you can get huge rainfall, huge mudslides, and then the whole place goes dry again. You're left with a salt valley, and it's quite a tough climate. It's not a temperate place. Hot in the summer, cold in the winter.
Let's talk about climate then briefly for a minute. Is there a seasonal aspect to exploration work in Nevada in regards to winter and summer?
Yeah, it depends who you are and exactly where you are. If you're working in the valleys, you can work around the year. If you're working up on the high ground, you are very brave if you go on drilling in the winter months. And people do it. We've seen a couple of companies doing it recently and with reasonable success. And then sometimes they get into trouble. The problem would be if you have a rig on a standby rate and you can't get to it because it's surrounded by about 6 feet of snow, then you are in for some very expensive problems. And also when you're drilling, you get any water and very freezing temperatures, it's pretty hard to drill in the winter. So we tend to see our work season as beginning in late March and ending in sort of mid-November or something, that sort of time. You can go a bit, you can work outside those limits. I would hate, as a small company with limited money, I would hate to take the risk of doing too much drilling in December, January, February. That would be, I think you're taking a big chance in doing that, of getting into big financial trouble and wasting a lot of time and money. So I wouldn't want to do that. So yeah, there is a seasonal element to it. But I just remember the comment of a young geologist watching one of our holes being drilled a couple of years ago, and he came back with a rather sad little text message one evening at the end of his day saying, "Today the temperature was 44 centigrade in the shade." And then he said, "But there is no shade." And actually, since then, we've actually realized that there was a bit of a deficiency in our own health and safety procedures and standard operating procedures. So we actually furnished him with a little bit of a kind of tent so that he would at least make some shade for the poor guy. But that's how bad it is in the summer. It's all very well saying we can only work in the summer, but not much fun working in July and August up there because it is very hot.
Well, drill crews are sort of famously a hardy bunch, though, so I'm sure they'll be able to.
Yeah, they are. But you need
one
to.
Way or another.
But if you can keep them a bit comfortable, they probably do better work. Nobody likes to work in them. Blasting heat, but it's all part of the business.
So the drilling that's planned, you've mentioned the copper and also the rhyolite dome. So that's likely to be sort of completed in the autumn, is it?
Yeah, I mean, once it's one of the situations is once you start drilling, unless you have a drilling problem, then it can all be done quite quickly. We expect probably the drilling program will be a small number of weeks unless we get stuck in the hole or something. But it shouldn't take too long. I, we we For the Rhyolite Dome, we don't have the BLM permit yet for the specific pads. They're quite good. They're good, the BLM, and they have a good relationship with them. But there is a it does take a little bit of time. So we don't need a permit for drilling in West Huntoon. But I think probably the limiting factor in Rhyolite Dome is going to be the BLM permit, and I expect to get that probably towards the end of August. So I would think we would start drilling probably in August, and with a bit of luck, we should have it all finished by end of September, early October. So yeah, in the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, we should have our drilling done. And then, of course, we have the old lab story that we will put cuttings in the lab and then wait for the lab to take the time to do it.
And then, depending on what the results show, then there could be a possibility of further drilling when the season opens up again in
Yes, they
2026.
could. Yes, they could. And by that stage, we should know what we're doing with the tungsten. So we might have a slightly different drilling program, and we'll plan the next drilling program based on obviously the results of what we do this year. So it's hard to predict what the next phase will be because it will depend on results. So yeah, and our drilling program, and I say, unless we have big cost overruns, we're well funded to do it, and a little bit more to take it to the next stage. So we would like to think that the money we've raised now is going to last a little while, and if we need to go back to the market, we would like to go back to the market based on a higher share price, not a lower one, based on successful results. And so we're going to do our best to get some successful results.
I mean, that would be great, wouldn't it? Especially if the context was a strong gold price and a strong copper price.
Well, this yes, exactly, and a strong tungsten price too. Yeah, exactly. And the gold price, I mean, gold prices ease back a bit, but frankly, what the commodity prices do on a week by week basis doesn't really make any difference to us. What does make a difference is what the long term trend is. And the long term trend, as long as there's uncertainty in the world, then the gold price, I would have thought. Correct me if you have a different opinion, maybe, because I'm not an observer, I'm not an analyst of these things, but we're looking at some difficult political situations all around the world, and gold tends to be the safe haven for money in those times. So the gold prices looks to me like something which is quite promising, if not for good reasons, but for healthy, happy reasons. The copper and tungsten are both designated critical metals by the US government, and we are in the US, so we're in a good position to be doing something, developing something which is important for politically as well. So there's reasons you can't predict what the copper price is going to do, obviously, but certainly there's going to be a demand for copper coming up over in future years, and so I think we're well in a good position. We're not in materials which we're not in commodities which don't have a future. We think everything we're in does have a future.
Yeah, copper, the bellwether of the global economy. And I remember once the old mi oil and gas and mining stager, actually, Algy Clough,
All right.
he once said to me, "You don't want the gold price to go too high because that means the world's on fire." So, you've got to sort of strike a bit of a balance
Yes,
there.
indeed.
I think it's pretty high already, so we'll have to see. But obviously, if currencies get debased continuously as they have been over the
Well,
last
that's right.
few
That's right.
decades, then gold is going to appreciate in dollar terms. So I think we're looking pretty secure in terms of the gold price.
Well, it certainly, I say, looks good. I'm not sure the reasons aren't good, but I think the gold price does look good at the moment. Yeah, and it's if you have a gold prospect, I think it's really worth drilling into at the moment.
Yeah. So is there anything else you think that our viewers would be interested in knowing about Nevada, Brian, that we haven't touched upon, or Great Western's activities?
I think the activity that we probably should touch on, because it's been a source of annoyance for ourselves for some time, is our process mill in Nevada, our joint venture Western Milling, which is something which has been promised, and I really regret that we have ever promised and underperformed on this, because we have built the mill, and we've built it sort of roughly on budget. It took quite a lot longer and was quite a bit more difficult than we thought, and we haven't yet commissioned it. And it needs a little bit more money to commission it because we need to bring in a proper firm of mining engineers actually to make it operational. And that is quite expensive. And so we are looking at the moment at various options to finance it separately. We've had some interesting discussions, but we haven't had any conclusive ones yet. But I have a firm of engineers lined up in Colorado who have done this, completing mills and putting them on production lots of times. We need to have an outfit like that to do it. They're on standby whenever we can afford to pay them to do it. The danger is we have a partner, Mule-Tern Resources, who've Mule-Tern Enterprises, I'm sorry, who've built the mill for us. They've actually done a very good job. It's a very impressive setup, but they don't have the expertise or the people to do it on anything but a stop-go basis because they're contractors that do lots of other work. It needs some specialists, and until we have the specialists and the money to pay the specialists and take it to the next stage, we're not committing any more money to it because we think it, unless it's done properly, it'll be a waste. But we have the setup. It's quite frustrating because we've done a lot of work over the last couple of years on it, and we have this amazing mill. It's very impressive to look at, but at the moment it's not operating. So that is something that has annoyed people, rightly, shareholders quite a lot. It's eroded value in our company. It was originally a very simple, straightforward idea to have a very low cost process plant to produce gold and silver from waste material, but it's kind of grown and become bigger, and it's become apparent that that it needs to be bigger to be profitable. That you can't do it on a small scale. It's not really a sensible thing to do. So we've been learning as we go along, rather a painful learning curve, but we will get that working in the end. But we're going to finance it separately, and we're working on a number of leads to do that. So that's the other thing we have going on, really. And so we have our gold, our precious metals, our copper, our tungsten, and our mill, which has rather been what we too strong on puns, but it's been the millstone around our necks because it's been a rather heavy weight and something that's been anticipated for a long time and hasn't come. So it's rather disappointing, but we will get there in the end. In the meantime, we're an exploration company and we're exploring as hard as we can.
Well, Brian, I look forward to Great Western making lots and lots of progress as the year continues. It's been really great talking to you today. Thanks very much for spending the time, and good luck with it.
Well, Alistair, thank you very much for your time, and good to talk to you as ever, and always much appreciate your support of the biased position of a director of Great Western Mining Corporation. And so you're on the inside track, and you understand the business, and I'm very grateful for your time too. Thank you so much.
All right, let's wish us both equal success.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand, and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards, so you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.